Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
...97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Welcome in. I'm Mark Cox. I've got my co-host, Bo Matthews, here with me, and producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Bringing the good music as always. Bo, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm great, man. I'm great. So I'm finishing up my 5 weeks into the carnivore diet. Did I tell you about this?
You mentioned it the other day off the air, but I'm anxious to find out a bit more about this because I love meat.
You know what? Okay, cut that out as a soundbite, Carl.
Use that in the morning show.
Yeah, buddy. I'm not going to bore you with details, but I'll tell you what. I'm wearing jeans I haven't worn in years, dude. It's amazing.
Wow.
And I'm having two ribeyes for dinner, or ribeyes and shrimp, and I'm grilling everything. So we want to talk about the great outdoors. This is grill. I mean, I grill year round anyway, but I'm working my grill over, and it's wonderful.
Just out of interest, do you have to wear like a something on your body that measures your cholesterol level going up as you eat all this meat, or how does that work?
You're just like the sheep. You're just like the sheep, buddy. Don't,
I'm just asking.
You know what?
I'd love to do it if I didn't think it would drive up my cholesterol level.
You would be shocked. There's some great podcasts out there about it. I don't want to bore you with all this. My wife does love that I'm cooking most of all of my meals.
Because
normally at the, because she's a vegetarian, but normally at the end of dinner, I'll be like, thanks for dinner, babe. And I said that this week, and she goes, you've been cooking your own meals. I'm like, well, okay, thanks for having dinner with me then. How about that? So I'm at about 85 to 90% meat intake and nothing else. And basically it's taken out a lot of carbs and bread and stuff that I love.
Right,
but,
right.
So I'm in the dentist chair about 6 weeks ago, and I don't know how the carnivore diet, because I'd been studying on it, I guess. I mentioned to my dentist, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing the carnivore diet. He goes, oh, I've been a carnivore for over a year. Now, this is a guy that's lean, like a Mark Reardon kind of lean.
Okay.
He bicycles. He's very active and fit. And I said, well, my gosh, doc, why did you get on the carnivore diet? Jordan Peterson's also a carnivore. He says, because my high blood pressure was so bad. And he tried it, and he's been a carnivore for over a year. Blood pressure came down. You might think BS. I say, just look into it. Matter of fact, Greg Brown, the fire chief out in Eureka, he's on his like third week of it now.
Wow. Well, good for you. That's worth looking into. I mean, I did the Atkins diet years ago, which is very similar. Isn't it?
It sounds like it is.
Like where you're basically eliminating carbs and the weight just melts off of you when you do it.
I never did that.
I'll have to try that again.
Yeah, I never did do that. I'm going straight carnivore. But it's interesting because then you get creative. Because there are recipes for ice cream and flatbread and things like that. I mean, there's some workarounds there.
How about beer?
But my point is,
how about beer? Can you drink beer on the carnivore diet?
No. Maybe bourbon, but I don't think beer. I don't know.
Probably. I don't know if you're trying to get, eliminate the sugars and stuff like that, you wouldn't be able to drink liquor either.
Yeah, that probably.
All right,
a problem.
So you could call this the hard 75, basically the same thing, because it would be very hard for me not to drink for 75 days.
I think that's a brand that First Form has, but yeah, I don't know,
kidding.
Man. Like I said, I'm wearing jeans I haven't worn in years, and that feels good. I actually bought a new belt about 2 months ago.
Yes.
I had to pop another hole in the belt just the other day.
Proud of you, Bo Matthews. That sounds good. I like it.
And it's outdoor barbecuing, so that can't be bad. I do want to mention that the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Sporting Clay shoot was postponed, and it's rescheduled for this coming Friday, June 14th. They are looking for shooters. You can go to eurekachamber.org, and under the events page, you can get signed up. Are you planning to do that? Are you
doing
time?
Trap and skeet, right?
St. Louis Trap and Skeet. Yep.
St. Louis Skeet and Trap. Sorry, I said it backwards. I am planning to be there. It's like an 11 a.m. start on a Friday morning?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think noon start, but they're going to feed everybody. And, you know, it goes for the Chamber of Commerce. I had a great time at this last time, and it was the first time I had done it, and I was terrible at it. But in that last year, Mark Cox, I have improved my shooting some.
And you have? Upgraded your firearm, and you've improved your skills. It's good. Practice makes perfect, Bo Matthews.
I don't know about perfect in that game, brother. That's
there's no perfect that's in that pretty game. Rough. No. Sporting clays is humbling. It's a humbling sport. You can be a pretty good trap shooter and still not, because the birds are flying in from every direction, bouncing off the ground like rabbits. I mean, it's tough.
You know, that's a good question. When you say practice makes perfect, does that pertain in anything? It doesn't.
Maybe
it's
not.
Such BS.
Maybe mathematics? I don't know, right?
Maybe, but golf? Does practice make perfect?
No.
Yeah. You could have good days and bad days, is my point.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, when I was young and started playing golf, I wasn't very good at it, but after years of practice and lessons, I'm now old.
And still not
regular. I borrowed that from a meme that I read the other day, so I just thought I'd point that out.
Dude, older. I love that.
Oh, now I'm older. Let's put it that way.
I just wanted to mention the time and location is the St. Louis Skeet and Trap event on Pacific. 11:30 to 4 is what the event is. So hey, if you want to sign up and join us, get to hang out with Mark Cox. That's why I'm going.
Yeah, thank you. You can see how bad of a shooter Mark Cox is on that, right?
I mean that.
So, I was going to say, I wondered if you watched any of the D-Day celebration or coverage this week.
A little bit. I've been busy out working in the property, so I haven't seen a lot. I saw some speeches.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of them compared to the Point du Hoc speech that Ronald Reagan gave 40 years ago. And if somebody 100%. Hasn't seen that, go back and watch it. It was incredible delivery. Joe Biden was never going to come close to anything like that. His was woke. He wanted to, I mean, the very little bit of the Biden speech I heard was he had to interject wokeness into it, and I just don't understand it. The men and women, mostly men, who died that day made that sacrifice so that we could have a free society, a free republic in this country. They're all turning over in their graves if they could see what we're doing today. I listened to a chief advisor for Biden this week point out that his North Star in his presidency was equity. Everything he does is aimed at equity.
Explain that to me.
Equity is something you have in your house. You buy your house at one price, it goes up in value, and then you sell it at another price, and the profit that you make is the equity that you have in that house. Equity is different than equality. Equality means you have a right to the equality of outcomes. You don't have a right to the same outcome. You have equality. You have an equal opportunity to achieve, but you don't have.
I think what the problem is,
a guarantee of the outcome, and equity guarantees somebody outcome. It's money.
I honestly want to interject here. Maybe Democrats just don't know how to spell. Maybe they mean equality, but they're using the word equity because some speech writer screwed up and just went, let's just write equity.
The whole DEI thing, diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's not equity, it's equality. All we've ever wanted to achieve in this country is equality. Everybody's equal. Depending on what you put into it, that's what you'll get out of it. Period. You're not guaranteed anything. It just drives me bonkers when I hear that stuff.
I just want to tell people that have maybe don't get up early enough to listen to your show like I do during the week. No, I'm serious. On D-Day, you played part of the Reagan speech. And, you know, sometimes you don't even think about things that have already happened until you hear your show do it. And then that makes me go to YouTube and watch the entire thing myself.
It's less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's not a long speech, but it's well worth listening to. For sure. Speaking of history, we got a little lesson for you here. You can help relive some of that history of the United States and the different conflicts and maybe learn a few things, hopefully, along the way out at Jefferson Barracks. We're going to talk to Tom Hoff about an event they've got coming up next Saturday, the 15th, straight ahead on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews with Mark Cox. We thank you for listening to this program. And you know, people discover new stuff all the time, and we encourage you to share this show with your friends that are like-minded about the Second Amendment and those who love the great outdoors. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you're wanting to suppress a firearm, Razorback Armory is your go-to. Matter of fact, I was going to run up there yesterday with a buddy of mine and ran out of time, so it may happen today. But yeah, RazorbackArmory.com. Go there, and you can learn all the information, get the address. It's just east of 270 on Manchester Road. Tell them Bo sent you into Razorback Armory. Now, we have a recurring cameo appearance by our next guest, Tom Hoff. He's the cultural site manager at Jefferson Barracks, and we are going to talk to you about an event that is going to be happening next week. And so we wanted to give you plenty of time to make plans to get your family out. It's called Bitter Conflicts. Tom, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, and good morning to everyone.
Yeah. So tell us, this has been going on a lot of years, right? So tell us more about Bitter Conflicts and what people can expect when they come out to Jefferson Barracks.
Okay, the event has changed a little bit for this year. In previous years, it was strictly a timeline event, which means we would have stations set up with reenactors representing different periods of American military history. This year we're doing things in conjunction with both the U.S. Army Reserve and the Missouri National Guard, as along with the Military Vehicle Preservation Association. So we are going to have a collection of military vehicles from a quartermaster company, from an infantry company, as well as historical vehicles provided by the MVPA, as well as having our reenactor stations. So it'll be a chance to see a lot more of the trucks and the equipment and stuff, as well as hearing the stories. So if you've got kids that like trucks and things along that line, this is going to be a great experience for them.
Yeah, and a learning experience for them. I mean, this time of year, particularly given the fact that this past week we had, of course, the anniversary, the 80th anniversary of D-Day, you know, you've got generations of kids now that need to be schooled on the history of our military and the sacrifices that have been made. And what a great opportunity you have coming up for that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, not only today's the anniversary of D-Day, but an amazing history in Marine Corps history from World War One with the Battle of Belle of Wood, and which went on for days, but today was a significant day in that battle. And it's giving people the opportunity to reflect back on all sorts of different moments in American history and learn the significance of that, learn what it means to our freedoms today, because without the sacrifices that were made for us, we don't have the freedoms we have today. And the nice thing about doing this now this event now with the National Guard and the Army Reserve is you're also meeting the people who are on the line now, on the line today, protecting your freedoms. So it's, you know, it'll be a great blending of our history, where we're coming from, how we got to here, and who's here making sure that this great American experiment continues.
Yeah, Tom, I'll tell you what, I don't know why Donald Rumsfeld's quote from many years ago comes to mind, but when you, and I'll tell you what it is, but when you see in person the vehicles that you're going to have on display, it's a touch a truck event, which means there's going to be a lot of photo ops of modern military vehicles as well as the old ones. When you see the old ones, the Donald Rumsfeld quote was, I'm paraphrasing, but I think he said, you don't go to war with the military you want. You go to war with the military you have. And so oftentimes I've seen these old vehicles, which were, you know, cutting edge at the time. And you're thinking to myself, I think to myself, how in the world did they get in that and cover the ground? You know what I mean? It's just it's amazing absolutely. To see what was used.
Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to ride in a lot of different historical vehicles. And sometimes you're just thankful to get from point A to point B with your spine intact. You know?
Ain't that the truth? Wow. So true.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's like riding in a sled, I imagine, in a lot of those cases. Let's talk about the reenactment for a few minutes. Is this like a battle reenactment, or are they reenactors for particular time periods, and you can kind of see how they would have camped and or, you know, acted?
Yeah, what we're going to do is there won't be any battle going on here today. Usually when we would do a battle here, there'd be like marching to a different site and so you have the room to have the battle.
Okay.
What we're doing here is it's going to be very concentrated around the historical site section, the old visitor center and the laborer's house in the old ordnance museum. And we'll have people from different groups going back to the French and Indian War up through this, you know, the American Revolution, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, setting up campsites.
Okay.
And you'll be able to talk to the reenactors, see the equipment that was used, learn a little bit about how the Army functioned at that time in history, and how Americans were living and coping with being at war.
I've always been intrigued by military actions and wars and the equipment, like we just mentioned. But it's really cool when you can talk to somebody such as yourself that are experts in it, that understand it, that have studied it or participated in it, as far as, you know, the Vietnam War goes. Is there a lot of opportunities that you would say that families will have to talk to those that are in uniform in whatever era and talk about specifics?
Oh, absolutely. The reenactors that we have, we've got a very knowledgeable bunch that come out. And everyone that's talking about their period are head over heels in love with it. For example, if you were to come talk to the Spanish-American War encampment, I will talk your ear off about the Spanish-American War and the Philippine Insurrection. And it is, we've got people who are knowledgeable. They can answer your questions. We'll be out from about 9 in the morning to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So there will be plenty of opportunity as you walk along in order to talk to people and to ask any of the questions you want to have answered. Everyone will be interacting perfectly fine. They'll demonstrate how things worked. It'll go rather nicely. We're going to have a couple of food trucks out, so if you want to grab something to sip on or nibble while walking along, you've got that opportunity as well.
Well, I've always been so impressed at the dedication of the people that do the reenactment. And I know, Bo, you're good friends with somebody who does this. But I specifically remember when I worked at Channel 4 years ago going to one of these events. I don't know if it was at Jeff Barrick's somewhere. They had these folks set up. And when I went to the one for like the Revolutionary War, I swear the guy told me that he was wearing like burlap underwear or something, and it must have been 90 degrees outside that day. And I'm thinking, you really got to be committed to go that all in.
Yeah,
literally.
I've been Yeah, literally. I've been part of the reenacting community since 1984.
Wow.
And it's a great hobby. It is the perfect way to learn the period you want to study if you're doing any kind of academic endeavor. Go out and live it. Live with the material, live with the equipment, learn how things function. So I approached reenacting back in the 80s when I was in college as an academic endeavor, and it turned into a lifetime of enjoyment. Met wonderful people, met knowledgeable people. You will meet people from all walks of life who have an interest in history and have found a great way to express that interest and develop that interest even further. So reenacting and living history can be, with the right mindset, an absolute wonderful tool. And the great thing about an event like this is, you know, if you've got your kids and they're kind of, you know, addicted to video games and kind of an indoor life, maybe you can spark something in them where they want to get out and they want to do something. And when they're young, you just go see reenactments. Go down to Pilot Knob and see what a Civil War battle looks like.
Yes.
Obviously, thankfully, there are shortcomings. So you're going to see what it actually looked like. But you'll get an idea of how people reacted together, how they camped, how the armies were organized. We're going to give a little taste of that here for a wide variety of things. I remember back in the 1980s, I was doing Revolutionary War reenacting and World War II predominantly. And there was a little bit of interest going on in Vietnam. And the interesting thing was, it being only 20 years after the Vietnam War, a lot of the guys that were getting into the groundwork of Vietnam War reenacting were Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a wonderful knowledge base there. And I look back now, you can look at a lot of the Vietnam War reenactors, and they do an amazing job with presenting what life was like in Southeast Asia at the time. And, you know, we're farther away from Vietnam now than we were from World War II when I started doing World War II reenacting.
Oh, wow. That's a perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. It well is. And, by bringing in this interaction of reenactors who are dealing with those military periods that we still have veterans from, it gives them an opportunity to learn from the people who did it, and then
That
knowledge alive to pass on to the next generations. So it's a great hobby in that regard.
For you guys, it is a great hobby. I would think that anybody that's studying history in college or they're focused on it in high school, that would be great. I mean, young kids are either into dinosaurs or trucks. This would be a great opportunity to show that off. Tom, thanks to the St. Louis County Parks Department for doing such a great job working with you guys. Again, it's at Jefferson Barracks County Park on Saturday, June 15th at 9 a.m. till 4. It is free to the public, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's awesome. And we hope to bring as many faces out there, new faces especially, to see all of the effort that you guys go through, even to the point of wearing wool underwear. Yeah. So thank you very much for your time.
And Tom, for a little extra cross promotion here, I know you talked to our friend Sue Thomas, I believe, for her new show, Sue and the Lou, right?
Yeah, yes, I did. And that was a great experience. Sue's a great person. I really like her. And it was nice to have the opportunity to sit down and talk about Jefferson Barracks, which is so near and dear to my heart.
Well, good. Well, thank you for doing that. And, sir, we will talk again soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Absolutely. Tom Hoff there from Jefferson Barracks, and that ought to be a good time.
This year I finally am making plans to actually go. Now,
good.
When Mark Cox says I'm going to be somewhere, he shows up.
And that's
so
right.
You are my mentor. I'm trying to step in your path, Big Fish.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Coming up, the path you don't want to follow would be that of one Hunter Biden and the trouble he's facing in federal court right now for lying on a federal background form. And we're going to talk to our friend Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America, because that is a the evidence that's come forward in that case, I mean, they're you got to be careful with how you answer as to some of the questions on this form, depending on your lifestyle. Is that the way we want to put that? Anyway, we'll check in with GOA when we come back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, because we cover it all. Mark Cox here along with my friend Bo Matthews. And, you know, the left in this country will forever look you in the eye and tell you the answer to all of our problems in America would be more gun laws. We need more gun laws. If there's a shooting somewhere, that it's the problem is we don't have more gun laws. If there's a problem in Missouri cities, it's the fact that the state of Missouri won't allow the cities to pass more strict gun laws than they have statewide. It's always if we just had more gun laws. So I find it really, really ironic that it's now the president of the United States whose son is being charged with violation of a gun law, and they want to argue that he's not guilty of it, which is really kind of interesting. They're finally enforcing a gun law, and the left isn't happy about it.
And he documented it himself. By the way, Mark, yes. There are very few news outlets that are covering this. If you want to know what's going on, and I've done it many times this week, if you want to know what's going on in the Hunter Biden gun trial, you have to hunt for it. No pun intended.
Or you,
have
you to, could listen
it's
to
not,
the Mark
It's
Cox
not just
show.
Out there.
Yeah, you could listen
I understand
to Mark
that.
Cox
I'm just
show.
Saying... Anywhere else, though, you can't. It's so hard to find because they're burying it.
It would have been gavel to gavel coverage if it was anybody else, but not poor Hunter. You know, the living.
And why
alone.
Isn't this televised? Why isn't this televised like
question.
The Trump?
Well, it's a federal.
Why wasn't that?
It's a federal. I don't know about New York. I can't speak to that. I'm a little surprised that wasn't televised. The federal courts have a longstanding rule against TV live TV coverage. They won't allow it. They've never allowed.
But when it's this high profile, though, we all need to see what's going on.
I don't disagree with that at all. Let's welcome our friend Luis Valdez in from the Gun Owners of America. Great to have him back, and wanted to pick his huge brain over these Hunter Biden charges. Luis, how are you?
Doing good. I don't know if it's a huge brain. I mean, it's sun fried being down here in Florida. So
huge. It's going to be huge. Listen, I've watched this case with some fascination since the plea bargain that they tried to pass off fell apart last year. I mean, a judge looked at it and said, what are we doing here? Right. First, they let the statute of limitations run out on a lot of these tax charges. The guy ought to be in jail for tax evasion, probably. But in the meantime, he lied on his form 4473, which is a no-no.
Yeah, this is a prime example of the hypocrisy of the left and laws for thee but not for me mindset. And you're right about the media trying to sweep it under the rug, not make it an issue. But Gun Owners of America, we stand fast on this. We find the law to be unconstitutional, no more, no less. But at the same time, there's a little bit of Schadenfreude in this because we're here, you know, constantly hearing from the left, well, we should enforce the laws on the books. We should enforce the laws on the books. Okay, fine. Enforce the law on the books.
Yeah.
If the son of a current sitting president lied on a 4473, which is a federal offense according to the law and ATF and the gun grabbers, then throw the book at him. And what's really interesting is the media that has reported on has said, well, this case is extraordinary because usually these are add-on charges for felons that are arrested with other charges, not an individual charge for an individual case unto itself, which even the leftist media has admitted that they mostly use this to go after law-abiding gun owners. Or if it's hardened criminals, it's not to go after hardened criminals. It's only as a tack-on charge. And as a former cop, that's a common thing I would see with prosecutors, that they wouldn't slap them with the main charge. Oh, no. It's just an add-on charge if you get them for something else.
So just to be clear, you said that you guys think it's unconstitutional. Is it? You think that the question regarding drug use, is that what we're talking about here?
we think the entire process of a 4473 is unconstitutional.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, I know it's controversial for the marijuana perspective, right? Because if you are in the state of Missouri where it's legal, or Illinois, is it legal in Florida yet?
Medicinal.
So, but if you're a user, federally, it's still illegal. And if you check no on that form after getting stoned the day before, you've technically lied. You've committed the same crime Hunter Biden's charged with.
Very much so. And the danger of all of this is that you have a federal bureaucracy creating, through executive edict, who can and cannot possess a firearm.
Right.
And I'll take it a step even further. With Trump, he's now being mandated to turn his firearms in because he's now, under New York law, a convicted felon. Now, even though that looked to be a sham, bogus kangaroo court trial that would make the Soviet Union give an Academy Award for sham trials.
Yes.
But that's the danger. You have regulations and policies being created and being enforced on people that are basically saying who can and cannot possess a firearm. When last I checked, it's not a privilege, it's a right. And rights are pretty much, you know, they're irrevocable. They cannot be broken. Now, the Fifth Amendment does say that, you know, through the court of law and through due process, individuals can have their rights restricted in certain manners. But here's the thing. Was Biden at the time, you know, was due process followed? No, he filled out a form. Why is simply filling out a form something that could restrict you of your rights?
Well, you bring a good question because this is the subject that is hard to find anywhere you look. When it comes to that form, though, specifically, does it say drug use or does it say marijuana use? Because I don't know if it specifically says crack use. And he corroborates that in his own novel or his own biography about that timeline. And it was at the same time. So he's actually telling on himself. Isn't that right, Lewis?
Yeah. They're basically using his own words against him. You know, the ever classic line from a Miranda warning: any statements you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And since he wrote his own biography, since he's made his own statements multiple times on his drug past, you know, they're using that against him. And look, the question here again isn't is it right or not. That's a social question. That's a moral question. But this comes down to a simple philosophical question. The Second Amendment, we have the right to keep and bear arms. Is it constitutional that you have to complete a form to exercise a right? Because if you don't complete it in certain states and on the federal level, you can't exercise that right to purchase a firearm. Do you have to complete a form to exercise your First Amendment rights? Do I have to do a background check form if I want to go to any place of worship, if I want to pray in my own home, if I don't want to pray, if I want to be agnostic, if I want to be atheist, you know, depending, if I want to switch religions, do I have to complete something similar to a 4473?
Nope.
No, of course not.
Nope.
Do I have to do the same thing if I want to exercise my First Amendment rights to free speech? No, of course not.
How about when you buy a car? Because if you operate a car under the influence of something, you are violating a law. Now, it's not a right that you get to have a car. But I mean, to the bigger point here, you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that they can make you fill out something like that borders on the ridiculous.
Well, here we'll take it even a step further. do they ban people from purchasing a car? Not remember, you could purchase a car. You can't operate on public roadways. But from purchasing a car, even if you have multiple DUIs, they don't. They just tell you can't get a license and drive it on public roads. You can use it on your private property all you want.
Well,
are they thinking that part of the defense could be that it was a clerical error, kind of like writing a check to
a
your attorney?
Business error? Yeah, I don't know.
And to speak on Trump just a minute, I didn't hear about him having to give up his firearms in the state of New York. I didn't hear that. Would he then have to also give them up in Florida? I guess he might, huh?
See, this is the interesting thing. In Florida, the governor Governor DeSantis has stated that he will make sure that Trump could have his voting rights reinstated, but he has said nothing about the Second Amendment. And that becomes a very tricky issue because, as you know, Florida claims to be the freest state in the union, yet Florida still doesn't have, it's the only Republican state in the country that has a ban on open carry. It has mandatory waiting periods. It has red flag laws. And there's no word about if Trump could get his Second Amendment rights reinstated in Florida. So the question is the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office going to go to Mar-a-Lago and confiscate his firearms?
Yeah, now? See, I or, saw him. Call it Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors because we cover it all. Mark Cox here along with my friend Bo Matthews. And, you know, the left in this country will forever look you in the eye and tell you the answer to all of our problems in America would be more gun laws. We need more gun laws. If there's a shooting somewhere, that it's the problem is we don't have more gun laws. If there's a problem in Missouri cities, it's the fact that the state of Missouri won't allow the cities to pass more strict gun laws than they have statewide. It's always if we just had more gun laws. So I find it really, really ironic that it's now the president of the United States whose son is being charged with violation of a gun law, and they want to argue that he's not guilty of it, which is really kind of interesting. They're finally enforcing a gun law, and the left isn't happy about it.
And he documented it himself. By the way, Mark, yes. There are very few news outlets that are covering this. If you want to know what's going on, and I've done it many times this week, if you want to know what's going on in the Hunter Biden gun trial, you have to hunt for it. No pun intended.
Or you
have
you to, could listen
it's
to
not,
the Mark Cox
It's not just
show.
Out there.
Yeah, you could listen
I understand
to
that. I'm just saying... Anywhere else, though, you can't. It's so hard to find because they're burying it.
It would have been gavel to gavel coverage if it was anybody else, but not poor Hunter. You know, the living.
And why
alone.
Isn't
You're
this televised? Why isn't this televised like
question.
The Trump?
Well, it's a federal.
Why wasn't that?
It's a federal. I don't know about New York. I can't speak to that. I'm a little surprised that wasn't televised. The federal courts have a longstanding rule against TV live TV coverage. They won't allow it. They've never allowed.
But when it's this high profile, though, we all need to see what's going on.
I don't disagree with that at all. Let's welcome our friend Luis Valdez in from the Gun Owners of America. Great to have him back and wanted to pick his huge brain over these Hunter Biden charges. Luis, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. I don't know if it's a huge brain. I mean, it's sun fried being down here in Florida. So
huge. It's going to be huge. Listen, I've watched this case with some fascination since the plea bargain that they tried to pass off fell apart last year. I mean, a judge looked at it and said, what are we doing here? Right? First, they let the statute of limitations run out on a lot of these tax charges. The guy ought to be in jail for tax evasion, probably. But in the meantime, he lied on his form 4473, which is a no-no.
Yeah, this is a prime example of the hypocrisy of the left and laws for thee but not for me mindset. And you're right about the media trying to sweep it under the rug, not make it an issue. But Gun Owners of America, we stand fast on this. We find the law to be unconstitutional, no more, no less. But at the same time, there's a little bit of Schadenfreude in this because we're here, you know, constantly hearing from the left, well, we should enforce the laws on the books. We should enforce the laws on the books. Okay, fine. Enforce the law on the books.
Yeah.
If the son of a current sitting president lied on a 4473, which is a federal offense according to the law and ATF and the gun grabbers, then throw the book at him. And what's really interesting is the media that has reported on it says, well, this case is extraordinary because usually these are add-on charges for felons that are arrested with other charges, not an individual charge for an individual case unto itself, which even the leftist media has admitted that they mostly use this to go after law-abiding gun owners. Or if it's hardened criminals, it's not to go after hardened criminals. It's only as a tack-on charge. And as a former cop, that's a common thing I would see with prosecutors, that they wouldn't slap them with the main charge. Oh, no, no. It's just an add-on charge if you get them for something else.
So just to be clear, you said that you guys think it's unconstitutional. Is it? You think that the question regarding drug use, is that what we're talking about here?
We think the entire process of a 4473 is unconstitutional.
Okay, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, I mean, I know it's controversial for the marijuana perspective, right? Because if you are in the state of Missouri where it's legal, or Illinois, is it legal in Florida yet?
Medicinal.
So, but if you're a user, federally, it's still illegal. And if you check no on that form after getting stoned the day before, you've technically lied. You've committed the same crime Hunter Biden's charged with.
Very much so. And the danger of all of this is that you have a federal bureaucracy creating through executive edict who can and cannot possess a firearm.
Right.
And I'll take it a step even further. With Trump, he's now being mandated to turn his firearms in because he's now under New York law, a convicted felon. Now, even though that looked to be a sham, bogus kangaroo court trial that would make the Soviet Union give an Academy Award for sham trials.
Yes.
But that's the danger. You have regulations and policies being created and being enforced on people that are basically saying who can and cannot possess a firearm. When last I checked, it's not a privilege, it's a right. And rights are pretty much, you know, they're irrevocable. They cannot be broken. Now, the Fifth Amendment does say that, you know, through the court of law and through due process, individuals can have their rights restricted in certain manners. But here's the thing. Was Biden at the time, you know, was due process followed? No. He filled out a form. Why is simply filling out a form something that could restrict you of your rights?
Well, you bring a good question because this is the subject that is hard to find anywhere you look. When it comes to that form, though, I specifically, does it say drug use or does it say marijuana use? Because I don't know if it specifically says crack use, and he corroborates that in his own novel or his own biography about that timeline, and it was at the same time. So he's actually telling on himself, isn't that right, Lewis?
Yeah. They're basically using his own words against him. You know, the ever classic line from a Miranda warning: any statements you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And since he wrote his own biography, since he's made his own statements multiple times on his drug past, you know, they're using that against him. And look, the question here again isn't is it right or not. That's a social question. That's a moral question. But this comes down to a simple philosophical question. The Second Amendment, we have the right to keep and bear arms. Is it constitutional that you have to complete a form to exercise a right? Because if you don't complete it in certain states and on the federal level, you can't exercise that right to purchase a firearm. Do you have to complete a form to exercise your First Amendment rights? Do I have to do a background check form if I want to go to any place of worship, if I want to pray in my own home, if I don't want to pray, wow. If I want to be agnostic, if I want to be atheist, you know, depending, if I want to switch religions, do I have to complete something similar to a 4473?
Nope.
No, of course not.
No. Nope.
Do I have to
do the same thing
if I want to exercise my First Amendment rights to free speech? No, of course not.
How about when you buy a car? Because if you operate a car under the influence of something, you are violating a law. Now, it's not it's not a right that you get to have a car. But I mean, to the bigger point here, you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that they can make you fill out something like that borders on the ridiculous.
Well, here we'll take it even a step further. do they ban people from purchasing a car? Not remember, you could purchase a car. You can't operate on public roadways. But from purchasing a car, even if you have multiple DUIs, no, they don't. They just tell you you can't get a license and drive it on public roads. You can use it on your private property all you want.
Well,
are they thinking that part of the defense could be that it was a clerical error, kind of like writing a check to your attorney?
A business error? Yeah, I don't know.
And to speak on Trump just a minute, I didn't hear about him having to to give up his firearms in the state of New York. I didn't hear that. Would he then have to also give them up in Florida? I guess he might, huh?
See, this is the interesting thing. In Florida, the governor DeSantis has stated that he will make sure that Trump could have his voting rights reinstated, but he has said nothing about the Second Amendment. And that becomes a very tricky issue because, as you know, Florida claims to be the freest state in the union, yet Florida still doesn't have, it's the only Republican state in the country that has a ban on open carry. It has mandatory waiting periods. It has red flag laws. And there's no word about if Trump could get his Second Amendment rights reinstated in Florida. So the question is the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office going to go to Mar-a-Lago and confiscate his firearms?
Yeah, see, I saw him.
Right. Or are they going to issue a red flag against him?
I saw that headline in the mainstream media wanting to suggest that in New York he's not allowed to have a gun and he may be in violation of the law if he has one at his house in Florida. So they're already suggesting that somehow there's something else
there's
he's done
crime.
Wrong. Yeah, absolutely. It's just insane. So Lewis,
did they pull his passport? Do you know if they pulled his passport too?
I don't think so. I didn't hear that.
I haven't heard that.
Well. Okay. He's got his own plane as far as a,
if you
flight
own a
risk.
Jumbo jet, are you a flight risk? I don't know.
Lewis, last time we talked, we were talking about this ATF rule change. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they protected certain people under that restraining order, including members of gun owners. But wasn't that set to expire on June 2nd?
It has been extended for, I believe, June 15th or June 16th. I don't have our judicial calendar in front of me at the moment, but last I heard, it was extended. The temporary restraining order has been extended because, of course, we want to make it a permanent restraining order against the enforcement of this.
Yeah, and just remind people real quick that this is the thing that was the rule change was designed to stop people from selling firearms for a profit if they didn't have a federal firearms license, correct?
What they changed the policy was that it used to be you needed a federal firearms license if you were selling firearms as a means of business.
Yes.
They changed the wording to if you make profit on the firearm. And the biggest danger, and we discussed this last time, is as a collector, look, I've bought guns decades ago that were pennies on the dollar, and simply through the market forces and inflation, they've risen in value. So technically, I've made a profit on it. So if I sell it to, maybe get another piece for the collection, liquidate the collection, fund a vacation, whatever, ATF could go after me and claim that, oh, since you made a profit on that, you need a license. That's the biggest danger of this, is how ambiguous it is. But GOA, through the courts, filed... got a temporary restraining order where all GOA members across the country are covered and protected from this.
Well, I always recommend whenever we have you on, people go to gunowners.org and sign up because it's well worth it. And you guys can always use the support for these legal challenges you're filing on our behalf all over the country.
Yeah, it's just $25 a year to be an annual member. And I can tell you this. Every penny goes towards the fight. I mean, we have so many cases. We have cases fighting New York's gun bans. There are gun-free zones. We have cases in New York right now against the fact that they don't issue permits to outside of state residents for carrying a firearm. We're petitioning the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the Illinois assault weapons ban case. I mean, we have the case that we filed concurrently with Texas against the Biden universal background check. It's just so much going on that every penny goes towards these legislative and judicial fights because we're lobbying, we're fighting in the courts, we're fighting in the Capitol, we're fighting on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., we're fighting the state capitals across the country, and we're even fighting the local town halls because everything counts. That's where the Second Amendment is.
Yeah, well, it's a fantastic
And we are thankful for you, for sure. It's gunowners.org is the website, because GOA.org is something completely different. Don't go there. But for those people that do enjoy this show, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, you know what? I encourage everybody, or at least anybody that can do it, is to sign up and support, because these are the people that are doing the fighting that you don't even have to think about or worry about although we should be worrying about it. But check it out, gunowners.org. Lewis, always great to have you on. And, you know, maybe we'll have you on again real soon to talk about how this thing shakes out with the Hunter Biden case. Because to me, the irony is that Trump ends 1 week with his convictions of 34 felonies, and there was hardly any press about the Hunter Biden trial, which, you know, it's so prominent. I think it should have all of this stuff is so prominent that it should be televised. But that's just me. Heck, make it pay-per-view. Let's raise money that way. I'd do it. I'd watch that.
Yeah, that'd be great. But, you know, to end the segment, it's real simple. GOA stands on a very simple principle. We will not compromise. That's why we fight for the Second Amendment. That's why we fight to restore and advance and expand the Second Amendment. And that's what makes us who we are, is our product speaks for itself. We don't compromise with gun grabbers.
You're my hero, Lewis. Thank you. Keep up the great fight.
Thanks, guys. Keep on doing what you do and keep on being a shining beacon of freedom and liberty on the airwaves.
We will do it, sir. Thank you. Lewis Valdez from Gun Owners of America.
Not all heroes wear capes. Although Lewis could get one. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That
man,
does
thanks,
it,
for, thanks for listening.
Yeah, it does it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
All right. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.